In your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men whom I have slain in mine anger and in my fury, and for all whose wickedness have I hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Thus saith the Lord, again, there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate without man, without inhabitant, and without beast, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, again in this place which is desolate without man and without beast, and in all the cities thereof shall be an habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, and in the cities of the south, and in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, The Lord, our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant and the Levites that minister unto me. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, The two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy upon them. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so once again we identify the place of the prophecy. Notice that Jeremiah is still shut up in the course of the prison. And I like what Matthew Henry says about this, the opening remarks in Jeremiah 33. He says that the afflictions of God's apostles and prophets often have issued forth in a gracious word to his people. Citing the apostle Paul, he here relates this to Jeremiah as well, seeing that as Jeremiah is still in ward, that the Lord is not bound, the word of the Lord is not bound by such strictures. So as the apostle Paul penned at least four epistles from his place in the Roman Praetorium, so also Jeremiah, being shut up in the ward of the prison here in Zedekiah's house, issues forth this particular prophecy that is preserved for us to this day. And so very often the afflictions of God's apostles and prophets issued forth in wonderful words of comfort and hope for God's people. And I don't know about Jeremiah per se, because Jeremiah does not say so, but I think it would be indeed not too far a leap of logic to say that Jeremiah certainly received these bonds and afflictions for the sake of God's people willingly and gladly. We know that that was certainly the attitude of the Apostle Paul. We read in Colossians chapter 1 where the Apostle said, "Don't worry about my afflictions, which are good for you." In other words, the afflictions that he underwent was occasion for the writing of those letters, and Paul said that he was not one whit the worse for it. All right, secondly, the Lord identifies himself as the builder and maker of Israel, Judah, Jerusalem. He it is who has gathered his people, and now for their sin has scattered them, and will for his mercy's sake gather and build them again. And notice that there is a particular course that the Lord takes in these first few verses of this prophecy. He says what his intention is. His intention is to gather them again. But notice that there is a particular course. He's going to gather them again, but not right now. He's going to gather them again, but not in the time frame that those who have been scattered would like to see that gathering take place. The Lord says that he has scattered them for their sin, and there is indeed a proper chastisement, a proper course that the Lord is on. And there is indeed in this passage what I have called in the past a prophetic bounce, a near and a far fulfillment. That there will be indeed a gathering, but the gathering that is described by the Lord in the first part of this chapter is more fully unfolded and revealed in the second part of the chapter. And that second part of the chapter reveals that the gathering that the Lord is procuring really is the gathering under Christ Jesus in the days of the New Testament. So we have then this proper scattering that the Lord does in order to gather his people again, to gather them as penitents, to gather them as those who have been humbled for their sins. And brothers and sisters, it is indeed meet, it is indeed right that the Lord should do so. Let us remember that in their scattering, in their being taken captive to Babylon, and even in the northern kingdoms, scattering to the four winds under the king of Assyria, let us remember that that scattering for their sins was not as bad, was not as dire as their sins deserved. That when the Lord chastises his people, that our punishment is never commensurate with our sins against his holy majesty. That whenever we are chastised by the Lord, it is out of his care and kindness. It is out of his love and never out of his vindictive judgment. All right, so then the Lord promises many things to his people in the first portion here. He promises them health and cure, peace and truth, returning and building, cleansing and pardon, goodness and prosperity. And they're all given in those couplets like that. Health and cure, peace and truth, returning and building, cleansing and pardon, goodness and prosperity. And as a result then, praise, joy, and honor unto the Lord. Now we see in these promises that especially when coupled with the later part of this chapter, that these blessings are not primarily material, but spiritual. Even in returning and building, we ought not to see the building of the city as such, but the building of the church, and that especially under Messiah. The restoration after the captivity, when in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah and so on, the captives returned and began to build the city, that was simply indication of a greater building to come under David, literally, as many of the prophecies put, under David himself. But it's really not David himself, letting us know that, especially like in Psalm 16, when we behold David in the Psalter, that we must also have one eye on Christ. We must consider the greater David, our Lord Jesus Christ. In the second portion then, verses 10 through 16, we have gladness, families, marriage, society, and religion. This is what the restoration is supposed to look like under the hand of the Lord. Notice he says there will be joy and gladness, there will be families, marriage, society, giving in marriage, the voice of the bride, the voice of the bridegroom. And then he says also that there will be religion. You have to understand what's going on. They're under siege right now. There is no food. There are no animals. All of the animals that have been wandering outside of the walls of the city have been captured by the king of Babylon and by his army for their own food. There are no animals to offer. There is a temple in the midst of the city, but no animals are left. They've eaten them all. And so when he says that there will be sheep to pass under the hand of him who reckons them, that the Lord is providing for them once again, he is giving them days of marriage where they would have refrained from getting married, seeing that they were about to die. This is what the Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, under the present distress, he says. And then he also says that there will be the voice of the bride, the voice of the bridegroom, and he says there will be worshipers and sacrifices and offerings offered. And so the Lord is promising here a great restoration, not just a meager restoration, but a great one. Notice also this blessing is found in the branch of righteousness which grows up unto David. And here the Lord begins in this prophecy then to open what those true blessings really are. And that is that they are those blessings that are found under the days of Christ. That is the day of true prosperity. That is the day of true spiritual gladness. That is the day of those true offerings being brought. And the restoration that we see is only for the purpose of bringing Messiah forth out of the seed of David. Why was Judah preserved? Why was Judah saved? Because of the promise that God made to David. And this is the last portion of the book here. Oh, I'm sorry, of the chapter. Where the Lord says, if you can break my covenant with the day and night. Does that remind you of any particular portion of Scripture? It is a portion of Scripture that where the Lord enters into a covenant, and most folks believe that, most theologians say, even some good Reformed theologians believe that this is quote-unquote a common grace covenant. You know what we're talking about? The covenant of the day and night? You remember what the Lord said to Noah when he brought him out of the ark? He said, this is my bow, and I'll see the bow, and I'll remember my covenant, that day, night, summer, winter, seed time, harvest, all of these will continue. That the Lord would indeed cause the earth to continue to be that seedbed from which Messiah will spring forth. And when theologians tell us that the covenant that God made with Noah was a covenant of common grace, let us remember that there's no such thing as common grace. That grace is particular. It is always particular to God's people. And so the Lord here references the covenant that he made with Noah as a stepping stone to the covenant that he made with David. This lets us know that the Noahic covenant is not a common grace covenant, but a particular grace covenant. In other words, it is a part, one of the covenants, the manifestations of the great covenant of grace. And so the Lord says, if you can break my covenant with the day and night, you can break my covenant with David. It's the same covenant in its essence. And so we have then this integral part of the promise that God made even when he brought the world back to its bare form, when he undid creation in the days of Noah and set Noah in the earth and made a covenant with him. And that covenant would be what? My covenant with you and with your seed after you is not just that the earth will continue, but that God would dwell in the tents of Shem. And God dwelling in the tents of Shem means what? Well, that's the promise that finally issues forth in the birth of David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him, the restoration of the people of God. This is what the Lord teaches us here in Jeremiah chapter 33. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms then. Turn with me in your psalters, please, to Psalm 4.